heart to Dubin. Hello, friend, and greetings once again in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. O beloved, I trust that you have believed in the Lord Jesus, that you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Oh, how wonderful it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to know the peace of God, to know the joy of the Lord, to know the forgiveness that is available through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to know what the future holds because God's Word opens up and unlocks the truth to us concerning the future. And, O beloved, how many wonderful principles are made known to us through God's Word. Presently, we're talking about the blessings of eternal life and the much more that becomes ours as a result of salvation and our faith in Jesus Christ. And we've been talking about the Spirit-filled life, the gift of the Holy Spirit that's given to every born-again believer, for he does the work of salvation within the individual that opens their hearts to Jesus and invites Christ to come in. John 6:3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 tells us that our body becomes the temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And so the Spirit-filled life is a life of victory, as Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 points out. And we've been talking about the Spirit-filled life and how that children should be taught the principle of authority and to obey their parents, because in the Lord, for this is right. Children should honor their father and mother, because this is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with them, verse 3 of Ephesians 6, verse 3, that it may be well with them, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. The blessing of learning this principle of authority, and the blessing that comes through learning this principle. We read over in the book of Romans, chapter 13, and verse 1 through 5, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. God's in control. He knows what's going on, and he knows about the men that are in positions of civil authority and our civil government. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation or judgment. This is Romans chapter 13, and beginning with verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Here we see that God's in control, in spite of what our opinion might be of those that are leaders and are in positions of authority. God has a plan and a purpose and a will, and we may not always see nor understand what's going on and why certain people are in the positions of authority that they are. But God has an overall plan, a future plan, and he knows what the future holds. And so he has placed different men in positions of authority for his purpose and for his reason and for his plan. And so as children learn to obey their parents, they are learning the principle of authority so that they will be good citizens and will obey those that are in authority, obeying the laws of the land. And then also in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 7, we read these words, Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Notice he's talking about those in the local church. He's talking about the pastors whose faith follow, considering the end of your conversation, our manner of living. Now he's talking about the church of the Lord Jesus, and he's talking about the leaders in the church and those who are in positions of authority, and how that their faith is to be an example for us to follow. And so there's a grave responsibility that's on the shoulders of the man of God, the pastor, the teacher, because people are being influenced by the life of that individual. And believe me, God will judge the pastor and the teacher that's not speaking the truth and that's not setting a godly example. Notice again in Hebrews 13 and verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you. And again, he's talking about spiritual leadership and authority. And submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account. I want you to notice that, beloved. Pastors and teachers are going to give an account for what they taught, for the example they set, for the kind of leadership that they give. Beloved, as a pastor, when I was a pastor, I will give an account for the kind of pastor I was, for the position that I held, and for the Word of God that I taught. And so will your pastor, whoever you might have as a pastor. If you are in a church, then that pastor has a responsibility to speak the truth, to teach the truth, and to set an example of righteousness before you. Submit yourselves to them, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. How many problems that arise in churches that are of the enemy, and those who are involved in being used of the enemy will someday stand before Almighty God and give an account. And so we see the principle of authority with parent-child relationship, then with civil authority. As a child learns to obey their parent, they're learning to obey the civil authority, they're learning to obey the government, they're learning to obey the leaders in the church, and those who are in authority and public school or wherever they're being taught and educated, they're learning to respond the right way to the teacher. And then we see God's Word is our authority. If you will look with me to the book of Psalm 119 and verse 89. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. God's word, beloved, will not pass away. God's word is something that will endure and last. That's why you never waste time when you get into the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit of God to teach you and to instruct you the truth. Notice Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Beloved, God's word shows us how to live. It teaches us how to walk. It teaches us how to conduct ourselves in this world. It teaches us how to live before the world. It teaches us because it illuminates our minds and our spiritual understanding concerning God's will and plan for our life. Just as a lamp illuminates a person's feet and shows them where they're going, a flashlight or a car light in the darkness, so we see that God's Word is light to illuminate our understanding, to give us guidance, to give us direction, to show us how God would have us to live. And then notice verse 140 of Psalm 119. Verse 140, Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Beloved, it's pure truth. It's pure truth that God has given to us. It's for our benefit that we learn to obey the word of God and to put into practice the truths that are taught in God's word. And this principle of authority that we've been talking about is one of those principles that's given in the Word of God for our benefit, for our spiritual growth and edification. Notice verse 160 of Psalm 119. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Oh, beloved, God's Word is the basis upon which our lives is to be built. We are to heed God's Word. We are to acknowledge God's Word. Over in John 17:17, Jesus prayed for us, and He said, teach us to teach them Your Word. Thy Word is truth. Thy Word is truth. We are to be established in the word of truth, beloved, to obey the word of God. It's one of the principles of authority. As we obey God's word, we're walking in obedience to Almighty God and what He has told us to do and how He has told us to walk and to live. As John 17:17, sanctify them, set them apart through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Set them apart, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Then, beloved, God is the final authority in the life of every one of us. Acts chapter 5 and verse 29 states these words, Acts 5:29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. When the civil authority would have you do something that's contrary to God Almighty, we must obey God rather than men. Till next time, goodbye.